95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. My next guest is the Natural Lands Director of Communications. If you're not familiar with Natural Lands, it's a nonprofit organization that saves open space, cares for nature, and connects people to the outdoors in eastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey. Kirsten Warner is here today to tell us her story. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So tell me about the Natural Lands and exactly what it is.
Okay, so your summary was a great kind of bullet point of our mission, but essentially Natural Lands exists to try to preserve open space in our communities so that all of us have the opportunity for outdoor exploration, including kids.
Which is the best. I have a six-year-old and he wants to go explore is what he calls it.
Great. Wait until he's a little older and is tempted by electronic devices and then it gets a lot harder. So,
oh, forget it. He's already tempted by the electronic devices. Yeah. I hide them.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm not above that. Hey, let's be stealthy.
But now he knows some of my hiding spots. So he'll tell people, he'll be like, can you look on the top of the refrigerator and see what's up there?
You're going to come home one day and he'll be like scrambling up.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So I have to find new hiding spots. So how do you contribute to the organization?
So my job basically is anything that's kind of written or oral presentation for the organization. I'm kind of like the unofficial spokesperson for Natural Lands. So I write our magazine. I work with a couple colleagues to do all of our social media, website. I get to write a lot about the organization, which I love, and little aspects of it. Like I might have to research endangered bog turtles and write a little bit about that. So I'm always learning something, which is pretty exciting. It's a field I really wanted to go into. I kind of had a young life crisis at John Mayer call it quarter life crisis. When I was in my early 20s, I was working at a pharmaceutical industry in public affairs. And, you know, just the beige cubicle lifestyle was killing me. And when they finally came out with a rule that we weren't allowed to have live potted plants on our desks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I don't think this
is
for me. Yeah. So I ended up quitting my job to my parents' chagrin, and they were super freaked out. I had no job to go to and decided to go back to school for horticulture because I thought, let's figure out what interests me. You know, like, okay, if this isn't working for me, I like doing public relations and communications, but not in that track. So I wanted to kind of shift tracks and intentionally went into nonprofit. And I've kind of never looked back. It's been really fun.
Just out of curiosity, why couldn't you have the plant on your desk?
I think something about mold spores.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm sure has good, there's a good basis for that, but.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I need more like, I need like an old farmhouse is where I work now. And we have open windows and lots of live plants.
That's what I was going to ask you. What does your desk look like now?
Yeah, it's really great. We get to, you know, put a scented candle in there even if you want to, which is kind of fun.
Tell me about the space that the organization has preserved in the area or the spaces.
Yeah, it's actually remarkable. So Natural Lands started in 1953. We're one of the oldest land conservation organizations. The first project that our forefathers worked on, and it was all men at the time, was called the Philadelphia Conservationists, and they saved what is now the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge. They found out that Gulf Oil was going to dredge the river and dump the dredge spoils on the Tinicum Marshes, which is this beautiful birding habitat. If you haven't been there, it's fantastic.
Where is it?
The Tinicum Marshes, right outside the city. It's pretty cool. So they were very successful. They were able to kind of band together, and they were able to save the property, and now it's a National Wildlife Refuge. And they went on to become, like I said, one of the largest conservation organizations in the region. We've saved about 125,000 acres of land across the region. And our nature preserves, kind of a distinguishing feature of Natural Lands is among land trusts, which is somewhat unusual, is that we own land. A lot of land trusts will protect land by putting what's called a conservation easement on land. So if you own, let's say you own a 100-acre farm, and you want to make sure that it always stays protected, even beyond your lifetime, even beyond you selling the property, you would work with an organization like ours to put an easement on the property. So essentially what you're doing is either donating or selling your development rights. You still own the land, but those development rights you've separated from the land itself. And that means that even if you die or sell the property, that protection stays in place on the property. So most land trusts save land that way. We do that, a lot of that, but we also buy land because we want to be able to then kind of take it to the next level by doing land stewardship. So converting old farm fields into meadows, which are better for pollinators and other wildlife, things like that. And at the same time, those preserves we can then open to the public.
It's so funny that you bring that up. I have a friend who is looking at a property out in Bucks County.
Okay.
And it's owned by a family who put that sort of restriction on it. So they cannot go on there. And they're not looking to do that.
They can't subdivide.
They can't subdivide. Yep. And they're looking to buy this. It's like 59 acres. Mm-hmm. And the family that owned it or owns it now but is looking to sell it went through the process of making sure that a developer couldn't build on it.
That's exactly what it is.
They bought it. The guy who was trying to sell it was going to sell it to a developer. And this family bought it to stop them.
In order to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And that's often what happens. And so often, which is really kind of heartbreaking, people will contact us once a developer has already bought a property.
And it's too late.
And say, yeah, how can we save, you know, this beautiful old farmland or something like that? And that it's not necessarily too late, but it's really, really, really hard once land is sold to a developer.
There's also another piece of property. I live in Conshohocken and right in Plymouth Township. Apparently, somebody just told me about this, but apparently there is a piece of property that can't be built on. So I'm assuming it's something similar to that, but there's kind of like a hidden property back there and they rent it out.
How lovely.
Someone, there's like one person that lives back there. Yeah.
So a lot of our nature preserves have an old farmhouse on them, right? Because a lot of them were big old beautiful farms. And the preserve managers, many of them get to live on the property in those houses, which is really kind of spectacular. And they get to raise their kids in this beautiful 600 acre property. So all our preserves are open to the public. We don't charge admission. They're open dawn to dusk. And then we have one very new special property called Stoneleigh in Villanova, which is a public garden. And my start, after I kind of had my quarter life crisis and decided to go into nonprofit, I started in public gardening. So I was working at an arboretum.
And then
I was working at Tyler Arboretum in Media. Fantastic place if you haven't been.
We go to Morris Arboretum. That's close to our
house.
But that's where my son loves to go and explore.
It's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And there's always something new, right? They have different exhibits coming in and out.
Yep,
or
absolutely.
Just as nature kind of changes through the seasons, you get to see something new. So I went to Tyler. I was there for many years and then went to Mount Cuba Center, which is in Hockessin, Delaware. Also an amazing spot to go if you haven't been. And so it's kind of neat that now that Natural Lands owns Stoneleigh, which used to be the estate of the Haas family, and they gifted it to us in 2016. And for 2 years, we've kind of been working on the property, getting it ready to open to the public. And now it's a public garden. We're open every day, Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 5, free of charge, no admission. So there's spectacular trees and plants, and it's amazing.
The Haas family gifted it to you so you would preserve it?
Exactly. That was their intention.
Yep. That's pretty nice.
Isn't it remarkable? Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty great. You know, from everything I've read about John and Cara Haas, they were the most down-to-earth, amazing, generous people. They've gifted so much money and energy to the community over the years. And this was kind of one of their, essentially one of their last gifts to the region. And it's pretty spectacular.
You're working on saving 42 acres of land in Lower Merion.
That's the property, Stoneleigh. So,
oh, that's Stoneleigh?
That's Stoneleigh. Yeah. So it's already saved. John and Cara Haas put it under easement before they died. Many years before they died, knowing that they always wanted it preserved. So we managed their easement for them and monitored that easement. Every year we have to go out and make sure, you know, on all of our easements that people haven't done something they shouldn't have done. Put a driveway somewhere, take down trees, put up a building. So we knew the Haases through that process. And then after they passed away, their children were looking at what to do with the property and kind of had a eureka moment, as they told us, and said, why don't we gift the property to Natural Lands? We are now in the process of fighting the potential seizure by the Lower Merion School District, who's intimated they want to take the property through eminent domain and build a school there and potentially a soccer field and other sports fields.
So how can they do that?
Because eminent domain trumps a conservation easement.
Okay, explain that.
Eminent domain means a government agency has the legal ability to take land from private individuals.
How can they take it from them if it's not theirs?
That's a great question, isn't it? The idea is that it's for the greater good, which is kind of hard for me to understand because we already have the property opening to the community.
Well, and if that family was still alive and owned that property, could they also take it from
them?
They
could. They certainly could.
Do they have to pay you for it?
They do have to pay us. They have to pay us fair market value. It's a shame because it's turning into this kind of legal, you know, lots of money spent on both sides for what we hope will be an unsuccessful.
Wow. So people should probably come out and see it in case it's not there in a little while?
They should come out and see it. You never know. You never know.
So why is it so important to keep it as is and to not allow the school district to take it and build on it?
Yeah. Well, in addition to it just kind of quote unquote being beautiful, right? These kind of gardens and community open spaces are actually really essential to our environment, particularly in an area like Villanova or down here in the city where you have so many more people in a tighter space with more construction and more what we call impermeable surface, so asphalt basically, or building rooftops. There's not enough green space for the rainwater to seep in that recharges our groundwater where we all get our drinking water. There's not enough plants to, fancy name is sequester carbon, to basically make our air cleaner to breathe. And so a place like that can actually really serve a very, very essential role in the ecology. It's also a great place to see pollinators, which, as we know, are kind of on the decline, and other wildlife. It's pretty amazing to be able to go over there and kind of see these little things that you would only, you'd associate with going out in the countryside, right? Going farther out into the suburbs.
But you can see it here.
You can. And you can get inspiration. We're trying to make Stoneleigh like a little inspiration for folks that want to start to learn more about native plant gardening. So taking plants that were here when the colonists settled America and put those into their own gardens. So it's inspiration for using those kinds of plants that promote biodiversity and healthier habitat for all of us.
And this is all part of what the organization does in connecting people to nature.
Exactly. Yes. You see, you should be on our board. You're a ringer. Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. Yeah. Connecting people to nature. Part of why we want to do that too is, okay, so we're all like adults here, right? We know we love natural spaces and natural land, and you know, we drank the Kool-Aid, we're on board. But what about your son? What about the next generation of conservationists? If we have kids that are so disconnected from the natural world because they spend a lot of time doing kind of very prescribed outdoor activities, you know, they play soccer and they go and they play on a turf field and then they come inside, or they go to school, they have a short recess and they come inside. But when we were kids, I don't know about you, but I spent tons of time just like wandering around my neighborhood, wading in the creek, catching bugs, getting filthy. And my mom would ring the bell and it would be like, okay, my mom's bell is different from my friend Mary's bell and it's time to go in. And kids don't do that as much anymore for lots of reasons. We're not always certain they're safe when they're outside. So folks are kind of being a little more protective. So if we have these kinds of places where they can actually have an intimate, tangible experience in nature, we've seen studies that suggest that those are the folks that will then create a lifelong love of nature. And then they'll be tomorrow's conservationists.
And continue it.
They'll continue it long after we're gone.
So how can people find out information about the land and how they can visit these locations?
Yeah, totally. We want them to come visit. Our website is natlands.org. And once you hop on that website, you'll be able to check out all the preserves. We have links to those. We even have a free app you can download for your phone if you want to take a little technology into the field.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What does the app do?
The app allows you both to navigate to the properties, so you can find out how to get there, where to park. And then there's actually a really cool feature that allows you to navigate through all of our trails, because a lot of them are quite large and have miles and miles of hiking trails.
Oh, that's neat.
It's really fun. Yeah. So our preserves are, we have 44 properties, about 18 of them are open to the public, and they're always open free of charge, dawn to dusk every day. And you can find those through the app. You can find them through our website. It's a great opportunity to hike around the region. Our preserves go from the Pocono Mountains all the way down to the Delaware Bay shore in South Jersey. So you can really kind of see the whole region. Actually, if you hike all 18 of our preserves, you fill out a little form and we'll send you a t-shirt that says Find Yourself Outside. And it has a little map with all the properties. It's really kind of fun.
So you get a little prize if
you
do this.
You do. We don't have kid sizes. We need to get kid sizes because more and more people are bringing their kids, which I love that.
Yeah. I like that.
Of course, we have all the usual social media channels and we'd love for people to connect with us there because things change all the time and we can keep you up to speed.
And what are you on social media?
We are at NatLands pretty much on all of our channels.
Do you have any events coming up that people can attend?
Too. Yeah, we have about 100 events a year at our properties. A lot of them are free or no charge. So bird walks and hikes and things like that. And then we have some kind of special events during the year that are a little larger and a little more loud. Like we have a series of music events called Music Without Walls. And people can come and kind of listen to live music out in the beautiful field under the stars. And those events are all listed on our website, too.
Is Natural Lands looking for volunteers?
We have a really cool program, I'm glad you asked that, that's called Force of Nature. And it is a program that our volunteers actually apply to participate in. And then once they go through the program, they go through a series of 5 afternoons of training. And that teaches them a little bit about the organization. For example, be a care for the properties, how to take care of the trail system, what's an invasive plant and what's a native plant, those types of things. And once they quote unquote graduate, then they become part of that Force of Nature Corps of volunteers and can give back time onto the preserves and help us out at events and all kinds of things. So there's information about that on our site too.
So do you have like a really pretty garden outside of your house?
You know what? I am kind of a plant geek. it's so funny. I was on this TV show. Have you ever seen the show House Hunters?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so my husband and I, we went on this TV show, House Hunters, and you need like a theme for your House Hunters episode. Ours was, I wanted a lot of open space, so I wanted a house that was on like 10 acres. And they always want you to have a little bit of tension in the situation, and so they kind of manufactured tension, and my husband didn't want that much land. Well, we ended up with a house on 10 acres, so... We have a lot of space. We have a meadow. We have some woods and a pond.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah, it's really
nice. See, I don't have all that, but I do have a nice garden in my backyard, and I do landscaping, and I love it, but I really don't know much about what I'm planting. I find something pretty, and I'm like, ooh, that would look nice.
Do you feel like it's intimidating? Like,
No, I just don't know about it. Like, I'm sure if I read a little more into it, but I will go and buy plants, and I'm like, that looks pretty, and flash forward a few years, and it's the biggest thing
it's
in my
overgrown, and I'm like, it's like smushed up against the house. Yeah, exactly. And that's actually one of the cool things about going to public gardens like Stoneleigh or, like you said, Morris Arboretum. You can see what is planted there and kind of say, okay, that has a label on it. I can take a picture with my phone. And then when I'm next at the garden center, I can take a look.
Yeah, look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions on where people can buy flowers, plants, trees?
I probably shouldn't endorse any one over the other, but I will say more and more garden centers are starting to have like a native plant, Pennsylvania native plant section. And that's pretty amazing. I would definitely recommend people steer towards those. And there's even more and more online resources for folks to find kind of specialty plants. I know that in the last few years, people have been trying to find monarch butterfly food, which is essentially milkweed. So the caterpillars need to eat milkweed in order to lay their eggs and become monarchs. And with all the development in our area, there's not as much milkweed available for the monarchs. So folks have been trying to find milkweed plants, and those are often available online. It's harder to find them in the stores.
I like to plant, at least in my planters on my patio, anything that will keep the mosquitoes away because we get bad mosquitoes.
Maybe you need a bat house. Because the bats eat the mosquitoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and there are... Actually, we do see bats fly over our house.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, quite often.
Yeah. You're looking skeeved out.
Well, you know what? Because my mom always told me that they would get caught in my hair if they came too close to me.
Oh, my gosh. My mom
told
me that, too. And both our moms were totally wrong.
Okay.
No. Bats have, like, the most sophisticated sonar systems. They would never fly into our hair.
Okay.
They see our bodies way before, like, anybody else.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good to know.
Don't worry about that. Rest easy.
I've been told to let you know that I adopted two kittens from a pet rescue.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so proud of you.
Okay. Well, are you involved in pet rescues, I guess?
Okay, so when I had my quarter-life crisis, my choices were, like, go into land conservation and open space and gardening or animal rescue, because those are the two things I thought I loved to do and wanted to kind of make a career in those. And I figured I could not work at the SPCA because I would take home every animal I found. And it's actually around here. There are more and more groups, but it's hard to find a paid job in animal rescue. So yes, we have a menagerie at home. We have a little dog named Sunday that showed up. You can imagine, on a Sunday, she got dumped on our road and showed up. And,
oh, really? Dumped on your road?
Yeah, she's got like a million medical issues. It's ridiculous.
And where are you from? Where do you live?
I live out in Chad's Ford. Don't ask what road, because I don't want any more animals dumped.
Send them over to
her. My friends are like, do you have like a sign on the road that says, please dump your animals here? Yeah, that's usually how we end up acquiring them.
Well, Santa brought us two kittens. And
are they like brother sister?
Yes.
Or litter mates, I should say.
Yep, litter mates. They look exactly alike. One's a male, one's a female. Oh. The male is much larger than the female. They have the funniest personalities. They're still kittens. And
so fun.
Yeah, they're tearing apart my house. I can no longer have flowers inside my house because...
Yes. No, they will knock them over. Oh. Break the vase and eat the plants and then barf.
Yep. In the middle of the night.
Super fun. Yeah.
So I bought these beautiful flowers and I put them in my bathroom because I couldn't put them anywhere else. Well, sure enough, I left the bathroom door open
and in
the middle of the night last night, knocked the whole thing over, water everywhere, glass.
Have you seen, I found these on like Amazon. Have you seen the little motion detector?
Oh, I have them.
I
have them.
Oh, doesn't work?
I have them. The product doesn't always work. It works if it goes off for the cats.
Mm-hmm.
They are scared of
they
it.
Run.
They
right.
run. The female is. Uh-huh. The male cat, he kind of like laughs at it and like
bold.
Jumps over the poof of air to get onto the kitchen counter.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at least you got two. Because I often recommend when people want to adopt a kitten, I say get another one because otherwise they swing from the chandeliers because they're bored.
I mean, they're still swinging from the chandeliers a little bit, but at least they have each other. It's funny. I love watching them play together. Just them. I mean, we have cat toys and my son loves them.
Oh,
He's six. They love my son.
Aww.
They're the friendliest kittens on the earth.
Great.
They're great, but to watch the two of them run through the house and play, it's really entertaining.
It makes you smile. Yeah. Until they like knock over the plant, right? Then
I mean, even then I'm okay. Yeah. Like, I'll just clean it up, you
well,
know.
So you're a mom, you're used to that.
Yeah, exactly. Before you go, if you could give one bit of advice to the listeners today, what would it be? Anything? Ooh.
Okay, well, I have two bits of advice. One is plant native plants in your garden whenever possible. They're easier to take care of, and they are far more beneficial to the environment. And the other is to spay and neuter your animals. See, it's the two sides of my nonprofit personality.
Here you go, tying it all together.
I sound like Bob Barker, I know.
Kirsten, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
If you'd like to find out more information about Kirsten Warner or about the Natural Lands, you can go to natlands.org. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and maybe go out for a walk somewhere.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.